So our next speaker is Ruben Brambila.
Yes.
From the city of Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, how is everyone doing today? Oh, wow. Great crowd. All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say it's a great honor to be here at APHA. It's the first opportunity I've had to present at APHA, and I've learned a whole lot, and I hope that you learn a lot, from this session today. And one of the things that I just want to let you know is that when you're working with community members, it becomes a very exciting opportunity to not only work with a group that maybe are not as connected as you want them to be, but you're really providing them with real lessons learned that go beyond public health, that really go into personal engagement and satisfaction, and that's why I'm passionate for what I do. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our group called Campeones para la Comunidad, which means community champions. And so, before I say anything, I do have to include this, that we have no relationships to disclose. Before I kind of break down a little bit about our model, I did want to put a little bit of a context into who we're all about. We're under city government, which means I work for the city of Rancho Cucamonga, which is roughly about 40, 45 miles east of Los Angeles, and has a population of about 170,000. Traditionally, I've been working in the field of childhood obesity for the past 11 years, and this is the first time I come on board in a government agency. I was like, oh my God, I have never worked in a government agency. I remember that interview, and I was like, I don't know what a planning director does. This is interesting. So it really provided a really unique viewpoint for me when I first started this position, but I didn't know how in tune a city could be with policy and environmental change. And so one thing I've learned, working with the city of Rancho Cucamonga, is that cities have a lot of opportunity to work in collaboration with public health and engage in policy and environmental change. Just some quick facts about San Bernardino County. Yes, we're the county next to Los Angeles. We normally get clumped in, to Los Angeles County, but unfortunately, San Bernardino County leads on a lot of different aspects of environmental issues, which we're one of the most obese counties in the nation. Besides being the largest geographic county in the entire nation, we also lead in a lot of different factors, including accessibility to healthy versus unhealthy food access. So with that in mind, San Bernardino County Department of Public Health, they created an initiative called the Healthy Communities and Counties Initiative. And what that did is they partnered up with local cities in San Bernardino County and said, we have to really integrate health more into the city purview, right into the community that needs it the most. And so they developed a fund, and it was really started off as a pilot. Let's see how this goes, and provided cities with seed money to really develop their Healthy Communities Initiative. And it's really taken off. And the city of Rancho Cucamonga, when they developed, and I think the stars aligned at the same time, because it was during the time when the city was developing their whole general plan. And for those of you that have worked with cities know that's a very opportune time to really put in a lot of health elements within there. And when the city was developing their general plan, the mayor at the time was Dr. Kurth, who is also an RWJF fellow, and he's a medical doctor, and said, a lot of the local cities are putting health, within some of their departments. Let's put health at the forefront of our general plan. So every single department has an accessibility to healthy RC initiatives. So, for example, engineering, planning, and all of other departments have health elements intertwined throughout the city's general plan, which is very, very exciting. And I'm not going to go into detail about this, but these are some of our strategies that the city of Rancho Cucamonga is initiating. But one of the things I want to point out on how it relates to what I'm going to be talking about today is that fourth bullet point, which is empowering resident leaders. It's very easy to really work on your initiatives and really focus on the strategies that you have in play, but really, our community members are what matters the most. And so one of the things that the city has done is really reached out to our community partners. We've intertwined Healthy RC as a branding strategy using social marketing techniques to integrate Healthy RC as the way the city does business by integrating it into employee programs and newsletters, facilities, community events without reliance on general fund. Everyone always asks us the same question. Well, where are you getting the money to do this, especially during tough economic times? The city has been very vigilant on applying to really a lot of different pots of money. I've been hired as an employee because of an RWJF funding source, and from there the city has leveraged over $6.5 million in grants and opportunities to really be a powerhouse in the region to really emphasize healthy eating and active living. And really our overall effect is really making healthy choice the easy choice. This is just very quick. I just wanted to show you how much the city of Rancho Cucamonga has changed. And I'm going to talk about this blue region. This is not the entire city of Rancho Cucamonga. In this blue region is southwest Cucamonga. The city of Rancho Cucamonga is a very beautiful town. It has a lot of different resources and amenities, one of the highest amount of concentrations of park space in the region. But there's also a region called southwest Cucamonga that sometimes does not get highlighted. This is an area of the city that has less access to fresh fruits and vegetables. This is an area of the city where you have more Spanish-speaking Latino populations. Some of the schools are the more underperforming schools in the region. So if you quickly notice, you know, in 1969, this is, you probably, if you lived in the city of Rancho Cucamonga, you probably drank a lot of wine. They have a lot of grapes and a lot of, open space and a lot of vineyards. But as we go on, you see how the city has really been built out, and this is the most recent shot that we have. The city is over 90% built out, so it makes it a little bit of a little difficult to navigate when you're trying to identify new things that you could bring into your city. So one of the things, and I just wanted to put that context and perspective as to what are the goals that the city has had and the context about it, but now refocusing our attention on community engagement. What traditionally happens, and I've sat on nonprofits when when you receive a grant fund, you sit around a room, you lock the doors and say, we're not going to get out of this room until we develop our action plan. What are we going to do with this funding source? We're going to create a plan of action based on our data. Let's get all the best minds in the world and say, what are we going to do for the community? So the city did exactly that, sat around in a room, but the mayor said, well, wait a minute. We have to listen to our community members themselves as well. We have a general action plan of what we think is right, but we got to ask community members. Let's hold a community forum in that area of the city, southwest Cucamonga, because that's an area of the city that really needs special attention. And we didn't know if we were going to get 4 people, 12 people, 5 people. How many have done community sessions where you get 2 or 3 people? You know, it happens very often. And so the city said, well, let's do it and let's see how many people we get. I think it was about 150, 170 people started showing up, and the fire department had to close the door because it was a fire hazard. It was so many people showing up. You had local residents, you had youth, you had senior citizens start coming to this forum because everyone wanted to have a voice. If the city is going to make a difference, we want to have a voice. We want to be able to make a difference. And from there, they created this whole mapping exercise where, you know, we had translators, we had maps, we had GIS, we had all of our departments coordinated. And from there, we started seeing the most amazing amount of viewpoints coming from youth, from local residents who'd been living in the city for years, even before the city was even incorporated. And it was very awesome to see how many people started working together because for the first time they felt we have a voice. We have the opportunity to decide what's right for our city. And from that came a lot of different strategies, and those strategies went directly into our Robert Wood Johnson Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities grant, which included farmers markets, community gardens, safe routes to school, corner store enhancements, and we have about 10 different strategies that we focused on, and really that directly informed our action plan. But not only that, the city said, well, you know, now that we have a good game plan, because this is what our community residents decided, and we put a lot of content into it, we also saw that advocacy spirit. We saw that great energy come out of the community. Why don't we develop subcommittees that we can focus on this? Let's have a subcommittee for farmers markets, because none of us know about farmers markets here in the city. We're not farmers. You know, we are not marketers, so we don't know what's going on. We work in the city manager's office. And so we got community members not knowing once again if they could commit themselves to it. We had community organizations on board. We had local residents. And we're, you know, coming together, getting together, and there's a few of us in city leadership. We're all deciding on different things. But interesting thing happened is that some of the local residents and youth had these blank stares. You know, and I remember it very keenly sitting there, you know, and being bilingual myself. I remember seeing some of the residents, and they would look to me and they're like, help, help. And, you know, I came up to them. I was like, you know, hey, you know, are you enjoying the meeting? I was like, why aren't you enjoying the meeting? I don't know what they're talking about. I know we have translators, but zoning and ordinances. What are those things? And who is a mayor? And you know, I feel so embarrassed. I feel like I should know these things because I'm a resident. You know what? I'm sorry, but I can't come to these meetings anymore. So I apologize. And I went to my director and I said, we need to do something about this. Are we just engaging community members just to engage them, or we need to provide them with some sort of leadership experience? And that's where we developed Campeones para la Comunidad, which are called community champions. The first few months, I remember it was very interesting. My director said, what are you guys working on? I said, nothing. Oh, what? He was like, yes. The most important thing about working with local residents is that trust. And I've heard this many, many times, you know, in different sessions today and the past couple of days. It's really important to develop that trust. You know, before coming on board with the city of Rancho Cucamonga, I was working with the LA County Department of Public Health. And so this was the first position that I had that was away from LA County in the past 10 years. And so I don't know the region. And that's one thing I told the residents, because they're looking at me as, oh, you're the expert. And I said, no, you're the expert. You're the one who's been living in the community for 25 years. I don't know the community. How's the schools like? How are your grandkids going to school? Do they enjoy it? You know, how is the sidewalks in your community? You guys asked for community gardens. Now why? And it was so interesting that for the first time, local residents started having a voice and saying, wow, you're listening to us. So the first few months, it was just really getting a sense, developing that trust and getting a voice. And from there, additional strategies started coming up. Through this Community Champions movement, we've been able to teach local residents about what is policy. Why are policies, you know, integral in public health practice? You know, going from, you know, we need individual education, because a lot of residents started coming, well, that's great, Ruben. I'm glad you're talking about childhood obesity, but at the end of the day, it's my fault. You know, I am the one that eats unhealthy, and it's my fault. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if you want to say that, but look, where do you go shopping for groceries? Oh, actually go to the neighboring city, because here in Rancho Cucamonga, there really isn't a lot of options. And that's something that, if you know of Rancho Cucamonga, there's not a lot of grocery stores in that region. And so these are some of the things that we started moving away from, that just individualistic mindset, to more of a policy-centric approach. Teaching local residents on how to do public speaking. Teaching them on how does a city council work? Who are city council members? Taking them to a city council meeting and say, these are the people. Whoa, who are those people? Those are the people that you elect. That's why it's really important to get to know them, to understand what a council meeting is about. You could say anything you want in a council meeting. Really? Yes, absolutely. These are people that work in the city manager's office, in the engineering department. These are the movers and shakers here in your city. These are the people to get connected to. And it was just so amazing to see these local residents taking advantage. Just a really quick short story. There's a trail that runs throughout the city of Rancho Cucamonga and runs through neighboring cities as well. And I asked them, hey, have you guys ever assessed the trail? Oh, no, it's not in our city. I said, not in your city? It is in your city. How about we take a trip? We took a trip to the trail, and they were just blown away of how great this trail was, because it runs throughout the entire city, but at the time, it wasn't running through Southwest Cucamonga, which is in the area of the city that they lived in. And then, you know, they were like, wow, this is amazing. I'm taking my family there. This is amazing. But the part of town that I took them to was the, you know, more affluent part of town. And then after the portion of the trail that cut right into their neighborhood was finished being built, you know, I said, hey, are you accessing the trail now that it's in your own backyard? Oh, really? Well, we didn't know that. We still go to that part of the trail because that's where you showed us. I was like, no. You know, you got to go back to the trail and see where it's at. And just sometimes exposing them to the amenities that exist in their local city. And they were even very instrumental in assessing the trail, providing ideas for how we could improve the trail, working as local residents, because the city is embracing this and wanting, especially people from Southwest Cucamonga, to say, yeah, we want them to be part of the trail, but why are they not accessing it? One of the interesting things, and this is just a small outcome that came about, but it's very big for the community, there's more graffiti, unfortunately, in Southwest Cucamonga. And when we're assessing the trail, we identified some graffiti issues. And I said, Ruben, how do we, you know, contact about graffiti problems? Who do we contact? Oh, you gotta check the Rancho Response System, because the city prides itself in its Rancho Response System. Call up the Rancho Response System. You can do it anonymously. Next day, the residents came back, Ruben, there was no one that spoke Spanish at the Rancho Response System. Really? Wow, we have such a strong Spanish-speaking population. There was no one that spoke Spanish. I went to the city manager. Hey, John, guess what? There's no one at Public Works that could address someone that speaks Spanish. oh my gosh, we have 30% of our population. We need to change that. Long story short, because of what the community champions achieved, now we have someone that speaks Spanish at Public Works that could address graffiti issues, which is a big deal in Southwest Cucamonga. These are some of the outcomes that some of our local residents have been a part of. They were very instrumental in our farmers market ordinance. It's now zoned out in more areas of the city, including in Southwest Cucamonga. Before, it didn't even support local farmers markets coming into the city. And so now we have more farmers markets coming into the city, especially in Southwest Cucamonga. They were even instrumental in at the city council meeting itself. Some of them even spoke and said, you know what, we support farmers markets, and we've been very active. And they were very educated on the difference between ordinances and resolutions and statutes. Same thing with community gardens, and then more recently we just passed our nutrition standards policy, and it was just a tremendous, tremendous victory. They've also been very instrumental in doing park assessments, identifying what are some of the things that exist in their park, but also being able to inform certain tools and evaluation tools to help really tailor, you know, park assessments in the right way. They were able to be instrumental in translating some of those tools as well and saying, you know what, you're not even addressing this. You're not addressing that there's a lack of running water at the when we go to the park. Oh, okay, well, that's the information that we take back. So these local residents have just really been at the forefront of policy and environmental change. Here's a picture on the bottom of them meeting their local mayor. And one of the things that the approaches that they've really adopted is not to take a confrontational approach of, hey, let's kick down the mayor and let's drag him by the legs and, you know, beat him up. And No. They said, you know what, at the end of the day, when I partner with someone, it's because they like me and because we want to do it in a very collaborative way. So I remember that day, if you guys notice, there's a basket of fruit at the bottom. One of our key community members, that's Barbara in Purple. I told her I would mention her name at the meeting. Barbara in Purple actually brought a bag of fruit to the mayor, and the mayor was touched. He got teary-eyed. And the mayor told me, he goes, anything that these residents want, they could have. You just let me know, Ruben. It's just fantastic, the type of collaboration that these residents have. One of the most amazing stories, and I'll conclude with this, is, one of the things that they have advocated for is to develop safer routes to school. One of the things that they're very big on is really encouraging young people, the future generation, to walk safely to and from school. And there's an area of the city that's under-resourced called the Los Amigos area, because there's a school called Los Amigos Elementary, that never had sidewalks, which is interesting. And so what we did is, now if you guys know about grants, you know that nowadays with tough economic times, grants are becoming more and more competitive. And so our local residents said, well, you know, how do we get money for that? Because we trained them on, hey, the city doesn't have an unlimited money. The city oftentimes has to apply for grants in order to do that. And they said, Ruben, teach us about grants. We don't know how this works. And I said, well, that's very timely. The city's applying for a Safe Routes to School grant. Why don't you guys address where you want to see sidewalks implemented? Let's apply for an infrastructure grant. And so that's what they did. They actually did a photo voice program. They took pictures of their community. They did a walkability assessment around the Los Amigos area. And they said, hey, this is where we want sidewalks at. And they even walked it and took pictures of them walking in the street while the cars were running by. Long story short, they got a $400,000 grant to put new sidewalks in that area of town. So that's very, very exciting. And this is the last couple of things just to show you the impact that this group has had and through our community collaboration. I remember the local residents had told me, well, where could we put, if we have community gardens in our city, if we were millionaires, where could we put community gardens? Because that's a representation of the city of Rancho Cucamonga. And I remember the meeting with the planning director went like this. Well, you know, look at the colored spots, Ruben, and that's where we support community gardens. Oh, gosh. That's not a lot, right? And so I remember the conversation kind of ended rather tersely. And so, you know, our local residents were a little confused. Well, I thought, you know, you said the city supports community gardens. I said, well, let's have a conversation with our deputy city manager. Let's see how it goes from there. And I remember that conversation really clearly, and I just provided this visual representation to our deputy city manager, and she said, oh, my gosh. Especially in Southwest Cucamonga, there's no area zoned out for community gardens. Oh, no. This will not do. Let's zone out all residential areas for community gardens. And we even found out that community gardens were under a conditional use permit, which is the same permit if you wanted to open up a Starbucks in the city, which costs about a couple thousand dollars. And she said, oh, no, that will not do. Let's create its own definition. Let's, you know, map out more areas of the city, and let's waive that conditional permit fee. So now, before our ordinance that passed last year, that's the way our map looked. And this is the way our ordinance looks now. Now, more areas of the city are zoned out. Those white areas, we actually called that out specifically because those are business areas. Now, if a local business wants to operate a community garden, they could do it as a secondary choice, which means that if you operate a local business, you could do it as a secondary choice and you don't have to pull out any type of permits at all. So that's very, very exciting. And my whole goal for today is really just give you a little bit of a snapshot of community collaboration and just really showcase some of the great work that local residents can do and can be involved in. But my secondary goal is to also engage with many of you that work with community partners and really just share best practices. So thank you very much for your time.